Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The story was one of the saddest I've read in ages. The World Bank's chief economist ordered his staff to write more clearly, shut them up whenever they banged on interminably in presentations, and insisted all reports were short and lucid. Instead of being lauded for his bravery, Paul Romer was punished like a heretic, and his management duties were taken from him. His story reads like a corporate take on the martyrdom of Joan of Arc. There's only one quarrel I have with Mr. Romer. Among his edict was to impose a quota on the word and, ruling that an official report should contain no more than 2.6% of them. It's a bit odd to persecute the common conjunction, which has the advantages of being useful, clear and short, when there are all those words out there, leverage, deliver, journey, dialogue, platform, learnings or robust, as well as 1,000 others, that are none of these things. Yet when the Stanford Literary Lab published a paper in 2015 analysing World Bank reports, and came in for a hiding. The authors noticed its use had almost doubled in the previous 70 years and mockingly quoted passages in which ugly, unrelated nouns were slung together with chains of conjunctions. But is this little word really to blame? Over the past week, I've immersed myself in texts, starting with the work of Martin Wolf, who writes at least as clearly as any economist I've come across. Sure enough, in his last column, my computer counted an admirably modest 2.5% of ands. Next, I studied a column by Janan Ganesh, a man whose prose is widely admired. He did even better, with 2%. After that, I widened my net and downloaded King Lear in its entirety, to find the bard used a mere 19 ands per 1,000. When you consider most of these are stage directions, enter Kent and Gloucester, the true score is lower still. I was about to conclude that Mr. Romer was onto something, but then turned to my own writing and found that in last week's column I used a shaming 30 ands per 1,000 words. Mr. Romer would have despaired. In a last-ditch effort to prove him wrong, I examined Pride and Prejudice, a most elegant novel by the most elegant writer in the English language. I downloaded a chapter at random, and bingo, Jane Austen used a whopping 3.8% of ands. At the very minute I was doing this, on stage at the Hay Literary Festival, a former deputy of the Bank of England was telling an audience that in order to get its economists to write intelligibly, the bank made them study the work of Dr. Seuss. On hearing this, I went straight to the Cat in the Hat and, to my delight, found ands sprinkled everywhere, 46 per 1,000. What this proves is that ands are a problem only if they lead to length or confusion. Dr. Seuss can get away with extravagant use because his text is so spare. In just 1,620 words, he tells a more surprising and memorable story than anything in any bank report. Yet even if economists were forced to use fewer words, that wouldn't necessarily do the trick. Long nearly always means bad, but short doesn't mean good. One of the cruddiest bits of writing I saw last week was a letter from Alex Cruz, head of British Airways, sent to executive club members after an IT malfunction stranded 75,000 passengers. It was only 421 words and begins simply enough. I wanted to contact you personally to apologise. Yet already this was twaddle, as a mass email from a robo address is as impersonal as it comes. As well as being simple and short, good writing must be true. I stared at the downloaded Lear text on my computer and read the closing lines by Albany. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say. Yet even that won't help the economists. The urge to write pompous drivel is too deep for a quick immersion in Shakespeare or Dr. Seuss to shift. Any economist will tell you the best way to change behaviour is to change incentives. That means promoting those who write well. It does not mean punishing someone who tried to get his colleagues to write text that people might conceivably want to read.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
As the day winds down, don't let allergies disrupt your night at Aspire Allergy and Sinus. We're here to bring you peace and relief. Our expert team offers personalized allergy testing and advanced treatments so you can enjoy restful nights free from the struggles of congestion and discomfort. Make the evenings yours again. Visit AspireAllergy.com to schedule an appointment and experience a life where every breath is serene. Breathe easy. Sleep better. Aspire Allergy, your pathway to peaceful nights and brighter mornings. AspireAllergy.com.